can't wait to get there and to join in with that heavenly host and to spend eternity worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, what a day that will be. How wonderful it will be. And my wife opened with her scripture this morning before knowing what I was going to be preaching on this morning. And I would first like to thank our wonderful media team for their lack of preparation in spite of mine. For some reason, in the midst of everything, I forgot to do a PowerPoint. And so they are going to have to grab the scriptures on the fly. So if there's any delay, do not look back at the sound booth. Look at the Brad and say, it's all your fault. But they do such a wonderful job. And we're so grateful for all that that team does for us. So my wife already mentioned the book of Revelation this morning, and we are going to be turning to Revelation chapter 22 here in just a moment. But Revelation, it is more than just, we think of it as an end time book, a book that, again, beast with eyes and multiple wings and weird toes and all of the stuff that people try to figure out. But it is so much more than that. And really, the book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is the real title of the book. And it reveals to us about Jesus Christ, who he is, what worship looks like with him. But then also, it does share the plans that he has for humanity for all of eternity. So it is a wonderful book. It also is the very last book that Jesus gave for humanity to write that would be included in our Bible. John wrote it, who I have the opinion that John was Jesus's favorite, or, you know, if Jesus had favorite or best friends, I think you can see that in his life. And so we find that John, he's in prison. You see how Jesus treats his best friends. He's in prison on the Isle of Patmos. And he begins to share things with John. And this book was written roughly 60 years after the cross. And so it was a book that was written, and I want us to, before we read this, it was written to the church at large. So it was for every congregation, and every congregation at some point would have received this letter that they would have been able to read from John the Beloved. So we find in Revelation chapter 22, which is the very last chapter and the very last book that Jesus had written to us, we find that you see the last recorded words of Jesus, again, written for Scripture. It starts first in verse 7 of chapter 22. It says, "Look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book." And then we drop down a few more verses to verse 12. Jesus again says, "Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first, I'm the last, the beginning and the end." And then dropping down to verse 16, we find Jesus says these words, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright and morning star." So after these words, after Jesus says these words that John records, John gives his response in verse 17, and this is where we are going to take our message today from. John wrote, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life." This morning I'm going to talk for just a little while on the topic or the subject of the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If you'll set your Bibles down and let's just entertain the presence of the Lord one more time. Father, we love you this morning. We are so thankful for the privilege of entering into your presence and worship. Lord, for the privilege of hearing your word. And Lord, we lift you up in this house today. And Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would let your message, Lord, just help it to dig into our minds, our hearts, and our spirits today. Lord, let us hear what you would say to the church. We ask it in your holy and in your precious name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You might be seated. So we read, as this is all wrapping up, the culmination of the book of all books, we find that Jesus and John are having a conversation. And in this conversation, we find that there's discussion about the thirsty who would be looking for their Creator. And we find that those words that we're giving our title to today, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. We find that it says there that there are two things in this thirsty world that are going to be put into action to help quench that thirst. The first would be the Spirit. And the second we find is the bride. You see, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So here is my first question as I read that is, who are they saying this to? Who are the Spirit and the bride saying, come to? Well, as we read throughout the rest of our verse, we see that it's those who are thirsty, anyone who desires to drink from the water of life. Very simply put, those that the Spirit and the bride are saying come to are to those who are thirsting for something that is missing in their life. It is really, very simply put, the lost in the world who know that there is something tugging at their spirit. There's something missing in their life, and they're trying to fill it with everything they can without realizing that what they need is the river of living water to fill their soul. And so, he says, the Spirit and the bride, they say, come. And we are saying, come to those who have yet to come to him, the lost in the world. But the second question is, where are the Spirit and the bride saying to come to? Now, when we think of the word come, when we're talking about the Spirit and the bride and the lost, we have this thought of, I need to invite them to come to church. How many is that kind of the direction your brain goes when you, they need to come to church. But can I tell you today, I want every single thirsty soul in the world to come to church. But that is not who the Spirit and the bride are saying to come to. Because here's what I know, we are the church, we have wonderful services, we get to worship him and to gather together as the body, but I don't need to invite them to us. I can't give them rivers of living water that can flow from their soul and touch the dark places of their life. But I know the one who can. And his name is Jesus. So the Spirit and the bride, they are saying, come to the lost. The Spirit and the bride, they are saying, come to the one who is the river of living water. Come to the one who can fill your life and your soul, and his name is Jesus. Now, please don't take that as I don't need to ever invite somebody to church, because this is a part of it. Because here's what I know. When people come to a time of the church gathering together, and like we did today, we began to worship our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is drawn by that worship, and he enters into the room with us. When someone who is thirsting for him, they enter into that and they feel that for the first time, there is something that wells up inside of them that they can hear the clear voice of the Spirit saying, come. So please, invite them. But if you're inviting them, don't say, you need to come to my church where you can have everything fixed. Say, you need to come to my church where I can introduce you to the one who can change your life, the one who can make all of the difference. The Spirit and the bride, these two things that are put into action to reach into a thirsty world. So what is the Spirit? Very simply put, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto me. He said that in John chapter 12, verse 32. So we know that Jesus is going to, through his Spirit, he is going to draw men to him. He says in John 14, 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Dropping down to verse 26, Jesus, once again, he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will come in my name. So the Spirit that is calling, that is drawing, is very simply the Spirit of Jesus moving upon the hearts of men, trying to let them know that the great Comforter wants to fill that dry and thirsty place in their life. You see, Jesus' Spirit, it's drawing in this world today. I don't want to say, because of the last week that we've had, that the world is falling apart. Here's what I know. He's still in control. Regardless of what is taking place in the world, he's still the one in control. But I do believe that the events that have been occurring over the last several years, the things that are happening in the day and age we live, and not only that, but the way we are able to see the instantaneous actions that are taking place in the world, that those are creating an even deeper thirst in the lives of people than ever before. Because they are inundated night and day every time they pick up their phone, they turn on their computer, they change the channel. They're inundated with negativity, with the darkness of this world, with this knowledge that they're realizing there has to be something more than what this world has to offer, because it doesn't have everything that I need. And so I would say that as we see things, now, do I believe the Lord is coming soon? Absolutely. Do I believe he's been coming soon for a long time? Absolutely. But what I know is he's sooner to his coming today than he was yesterday. And folks, I'm not a predictor of Jesus' coming. I don't know if we have 5 months, 5 years, 15 years. I don't know. But what I do know is he is stirring in the earth today like I've never seen. There is something moving. And we talked about it several weeks ago, that the demographics of who is being drawn to the Lord, it goes against what everything we've been told for the last 30 or 40 years. It's this young generation. They are being drawn to Him. My mother just told me on Thursday night in Crooksville, just right before church, that in light of what happened this week and some other things that took place in their community, my cousin Tony had 20 young people from their community show up on Bible study night with not a single invitation. The Spirit of the Lord is moving. Because the Spirit and the bride are saying, come. Inside the heart of mankind, we are all looking for a way to fulfill that thirst in our lives. For some of us, and for some, they don't even realize it's there yet. They haven't been awakened to it. But again, as things are unfolding the way they will, and as we are seeing, and to be honest, Bishop, I don't know that there is a lot more tragic things happening than there were 50 years ago. The world was a bad place then. It's the fact that we see it every day, and we have instant access to it. And can I tell you all something? If you see a video, something like what happened to Charlie on Wednesday, don't watch that trash. That will mess with your mind. It's one thing to accidentally see something. It's another thing to click on it and have it put in your brain. Because I guarantee it will cause you to think in weird ways. And if you've already seen it, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean. So the Spirit is saying, come. The bride, and this to me is the good part. It's all good parts, but this is the part that excites me the most. You see, the bride, we're going to read here in Ephesians 5, 25 and 27 in just a moment. But the bride, we find, are the born-again believers. As a matter of fact, when Paul was writing, again in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul was writing in verse 25, he says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. We find Paul, he is very simply using the analogy of a husband and wife to express what it looks like for the relationship between God and the church, or Jesus and his bride. And can I tell you today, when you are born again, you become a part of the bride of Christ. It's why you will get to some glad morning when this life is o'er. You're going to get to fly away. Someday we will get to be with him as his bride. In Revelations 19 and 7, we find John, right before they're wrapping things up, he says in verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. Let us give honor to him, meaning to Jesus. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. I want to tell you today that when you become a part of the bride of Christ, you are dearly beloved by Jesus. And can I tell you, there's no better place to be than in the arms of your dearly beloved. There's no more comforting place to be than in the arms of your beloved. There's no more illuminated place from the darkness of this world to be than in the arms of the one who loves you. Remember, it's the Spirit and the bride. We are the bride. It is the Spirit and the bride who say, come. What this is telling me is Jesus is saying, we're going to do this together. Scripture says that we are co-laborers with him in the harvest. So what I love is he is saying, there is a world that is in desperate need of the light of my life in their life, that are thirsty for something to fill them in their desperation. And I'm going to draw them, but not only am I going to draw them, I'm going to let you step in and work with me to help change their lives. There is no more exciting thing in this world than to see someone baptized in the name of Jesus, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and become a part of the bride of Christ. The scripture says when somebody repents, just when somebody says, I realize I'm thirsty and I feel something drawing me and I don't want to live this way anymore, that's called repentance. When they say, I'm done living the way I want to walk towards Jesus. Just when that happens in a life, the scriptures say that heaven throws a party. I can't imagine what they do when we put someone down in the watery graves of baptism. It's got to be utter chaos for a little bit. But it's exciting to see someone born again. It's why David said when he came back to the Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. It's joyful in our lives. It's joyful when it happens to you, and it's joyful when you see it happens to others. But can I tell you today, the greatest joy you can experience is helping when you say to someone, come. And they realize what they need, and they come, and you know you are a part of that person being born again. You want to talk about being lifted out of the molly grubbles? That'll flat do it right now. There's nothing like it. There's just nothing like it. He says here, let anyone who hears this in 17 say, come. Now remember, this was a letter that was written to the churches. So at some point, we are so blessed that we all get to have Bibles and carry them around with us and in our phones. It's crazy. We get to have Scripture. They didn't get that privilege. So the letter would come to the church, and the minister would then open the letter or the scroll, and they would read this to the church. So that's why it says, let anyone who hears this say, come. Because when the church heard this, they were hearing a command to go and find the thirsty and tell them to come to me. The expectation was, when you hear this, you're going to hear it and then you're going to go do it. You're going to obey what the Lord has called you to do. I was thinking about this because really when John wrote this, he was writing this and sending it to the church so that he could send them out. Well, we call ourselves apostolic. And the reason we call ourselves apostolic is because why? Because we are sent ones. I want you today to start seeing yourself as a sent one. I wish y'all had a mirror. I should have bought everybody a mirror today so you can hold it in front of your face and say, I am a sent one. Look at your neighbor and tell them, you are a sent one. We've got to start seeing ourselves as sent. Let me make it a little. You have got to start seeing yourself as sent. When you go to work, you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth and you put on clothes and you do all the stuff and you make your coffee and you drive in. I want you to, when you're driving there, you are being sent as the bride to go and say, come to someone that needs him. when you see your neighbor across the fence and they're struggling and you know they're dealing with something, I'm telling you, you are the one that is being sent to them to say, come. Wherever you go, you have got to see yourself as being sent. If you are the bride, you are a sent one. And you are sent very simply to say, come. We're sent to school, to work, to our families, to our neighbors, to our friends. When you walk into Walmart, I know y'all hate it. But at least walk in saying, you know what, I'm sent here. Well, I'm picking up my eggs and the butter, and I'm going to avoid the chocolate bar in the aisle on the way out. Some of you. When you walk in there, walk in knowing I'm sent. Everywhere you go as a spirit-filled believer, you are sent. You've got to say it again. I am sent. You've got to understand that this morning. You've got to understand it because, again, going back to what we said in the beginning, as this world begins to come to the culmination of things, people are going to be more and more thirsty is what the analogy that we get in Scripture this morning is. But they're experiencing darkness constantly. They're looking for light for their life. They're looking for something that they have yet to experience. We've got to realize we are sent to tell them what they are looking for. Verse 17, the second part, it says, let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. And I keep finding myself being thrown back to this scripture in John chapter 7, 37 through 39. But way back in June, we preached the message, don't be a dry hydrant. And here we are, we're back at this portion again. And I believe it's just simply because the Lord is saying, I need you as sent ones to be ready. To realize your sent, to realize what you are supposed to be doing. So we find in Revelations 22 and 17, it is John quoting what John had already written. John wrote the book of John. And then later he would write the book of Revelation. And John is referring in Revelations 22:17 to John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And we read, it says, on the last day, the climax of the festival or the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. He hadn't been crucified yet. He hadn't went through that process. So the Holy Ghost hadn't been released to enter into the lives of men. So we find here at the end of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tents. And remember when we talked about that, this was a time when every year they would take 7 days, and they would celebrate the coming out of the wilderness. How for 40 years before Israel could enter into their promised land, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And during that 40 years of wandering, they lived in tents that were called sukkots, which the word sukkot in the Hebrew simply means a temporary shelter. And so we find Jesus is at the end of this time. He says to them, if anyone thirsts, come to me. He's talking about this time of thirsting in the lives of people. And so this time that of this celebration, for 7 days, they would live in these temporary tents. They would live in these shelters, and they would take them down after 7 days. But for those 7 days, they lived in those sukkots, those tents, again. But the reason they were living in temporary tents was because they were about to enter into their promised land. And so they were not going to need temporary tents when they got to that promise that they had been waiting on. Now remember, the thing that we learned in Sunday school class, and the things that we've heard so many times, is what was concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. And we also know that things that were physically taking place in the Old Testament often would come to a culmination spiritually in the New Testament. We see it in the Feast of Tabernacles and the water, and we talked about the libation celebration. And you can go back and watch June 28th if you want to understand what all that was. But we see that things that were often done physically in the worship of God and physically in the lives of people in the Old Testament are now spiritual in the New Testament. And it's why we read in 2 Corinthians 5 in 1. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands. And 2 weeks ago we all said, thank you, Jesus. Remember, no more pain, no more suffering. New bodies, glorified bodies like His. It's going to be so wonderful. So the word here used for tent in verse 5, this word is skenos in the Greek. And you know what this word skenos means for us in the Greek? It says, for that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that word skenos, it's a temporary dwelling place. For I know that when this earthly, temporary dwelling place is taken down, I get to enter into heaven. Folks, I'm going to say it again. And I want to sing so bad. This world is not my home. I should have told Abby, and we could have got her the organ set up on the keyboard, and we could have had a little organ. And then I could have, yes. But this world is not our home, folks. We're just a passing through. Where are our treasures laid up? Somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And I can't wait to get there. There's another song. I love all these old songs. We used to sing, I Can Hardly Wait to See Jesus. Anybody ever sing that song? I can hardly wait to see. Y'all need, just go look them up on YouTube. They will do it justice. You see, but here's what I know. We're in these temporary dwelling places, these bodies. This is a temporary thing that we've got going on here. But here's what I know. While we are passing through this temporary life, we are called to tell others to come along with us. Come along and join us as we now, you see, when you become a part of Him, when you are born again, you change, you get rid of this. Now it's kind of like hanging up on the coat rack in heaven. It's the perfect size for you, but you get to get rid of this old tent and you get to put on the new tent. And being able to let someone else realize your life can be different if you will come to Him. We've got to realize that we can help them make their lives temporary tents also. And it happens when the Spirit and the bride say, come. Scripture tells us two things about the last days. And again, folks, the last days might last for 15 years. Actually, we've been in the last days, I think, since Matthew chapter 24. Jesus was saying, in the last days. And then he listed all this stuff that's been going on since. But I do know that the prophet Joel talked about the early rain and the latter rain. And we do know that there is a difference in the last days. And so what we know is in the last days, Scripture tells us two things. One, that there will be a great falling away, and that evil is going to get worse and worse. You know, what's that scripture say? They'll call good evil and evil good. Anybody feel like you just see that about every single day? But here is the second part that we know about the last days. At the same time, there's a great falling away. At the same time, things are getting worse and worse. Concurrently, there is a great revival. Amen. At the very same time, the Spirit and the bride are saying, come. The Spirit and the bride are finding those that as they, you see, people can feel the darkness around them. They can sense that need inside of them for something more. Again, it's why we have 20 young people just out of the blue showing up at a church on a Thursday night Bible study. It wasn't youth night. They weren't trying to get them to come out for a ping pong tournament or a volleyball tournament. There wasn't smoke and lights and all the stuff we think we have to do to reach this generation. They're looking for something real. They're looking for something that can touch their lives, that has meaning and purpose, and lets them know that hunger and thirst inside of me, it's just been filled. And so, while things may look like they're getting darker, to me, it just opens up the opportunity for the Spirit and the bride to say, come, in greater opportunities. It's the clashing of the darkness growing with the light of the gospel being propagated by the Spirit and the bride that is going to promote the end time revival. It's the clashing of those two things. Darkness and light. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the bright and morning star. Folks, as dark as this last week seems, can I tell you, if we turn off all the lights in this room, if I lit a candle and set it right here, you'd notice the light. But if we turned off every light and sealed off every bit of light in place, you know what's going to happen all of a sudden to that candle? The light gets brighter in the darkness. That's what's going to happen. That's why you've got to see yourself as a sent one. Because we are sent into this dark world to share the light. To me, I'm not excited about darkness coming. I'm not excited about the things that just happened. But what I am excited about is the fact that in it, the Spirit and the bride are able to say, come. And can I tell you that the Spirit has been speaking to people to say, come before you ever get there. There is a drawing inside of people that is saying, I am thirsty. I am looking. And we walk around so timid and afraid to talk to somebody about what they're looking for. They're desperate for it. And it's only going to become more so as the days come. We've got to start seeing ourselves as a sent one. We are ambassadors. We have permission to do this, but not just permission. We have power. And the best part is he's already gone before you. They need him. And as we stand this morning, the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. the Lord is, he's reaching into this world. Something I realized, I told Heidi the other day. It says, look under the fields, they are white already to harvest. You know what that means? It means if we can't see the harvest, it's because we're not expecting to see it and we're not looking for it. Because here's what I know, it's there. And here's what I'm finding, the more willing I am to be a sent one and to say, come, it's like God illuminates those white sheaves that are ready to harvest. Amen. But if I'm not looking for it, if I don't see myself as a sent one, you will miss those, because the disciples missed it. And Jesus had to point it out to them. Look, they're coming. The fields are white already to harvest. They're like, what do you mean? And then they turn and they finally look where he's sending them to look. And they see it. And Samaria is turned upside down. Here is what I know, folks. If you see yourself as a sent one, if you see yourself as being told, Lord, you've told me to go tell them to come, I'm going to do it. Can I tell you today that you can't help but see them? You can't help it. And so the first thing I would say this morning, we're going to get ready to come to the altar, is if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can today. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name in the watery graves, a baptism to have your sins washed away, you can today. You can become a part of the bride. And we'll all throw a party down here while they're partying up there. But here's what I want to say to the body today. If you feel like you, there's been a drawing in you, and I know that we're saying the word come, and we understand that is just basically going and reaching for the lost. But if there's been something inside of you that has been stirring, a desire to go, a desire to tell people, you even find yourself before like, yeah, I know I need to do it, but now there's a desire inside of you to do it. If you feel a tug of the Spirit upon your life to do that, I want to invite you to come to the altar. Because here's what I believe. The Lord has been speaking to us for a long time, Bishop, to get us ready for what he is doing. And now he's tugging at our hearts and he's saying, I'm doing my part as a Spirit. I'm saying to come. Now as the bride, I want you to go and say, come. I'm already there working on him. I just want you to join in with me. So today, I want you to make a commitment to him at this time of prayer to say, Lord, I'm willing to join with you as a co-laborer in the Spirit and in the bride. We're going to enter in to this world and we're going to say, come. Father, I come to you right now. Lord, I know that you are inviting us as the body. You are inviting us to see ourselves as sent ones into the field, into the harvest, into a dark world that is thirsty for you. Lord, there is so much that we can be a part of. There are so many lives that are waiting on that person to simply say, come, and to share what that means in their life and who it means that they get to come to. Lord, today I renew my commitment as the bride to go and to say, come. Lord, and I pray that you would help us to see those that are wide and out ready for harvest. Lord, to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. Lord, whether it's at work or with our neighbor, or with our times with our family or friends, or if we're at a store, we're talking to somebody we just met, let us be sensitive, Lord, to that heart and that spirit that is thirsty. Let our spirit, let the spirit inside of us connect with the spirit that is drawing them, that is saying, come. Oh, Jesus, we know, Father, we know, Lord, that you have great things in store for this world at this time and this hour. Let us work with you. Let us co-labor with you. Let us see that it's the Spirit and it's the bride, it's us that say, come. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. I would that you would all take the hand of somebody next to you, and I want you to bind together as the bride of Christ to say, we're going to do this together. I see myself. Tell one another, you are a sent one. I want you to join with each other, because as the body, here's what I want you to understand. As the body, we lift this together. We do it together. So find someone and pray with them. Amen. Right now.